The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Everything that our Lord Jesus does is deliberate. Every word, every action, every glance, it's all purposeful and deliberate. Nothing is haphazard or accidental. It's true of every page of the Gospels, and it's especially evident in today's lengthy Gospel. I'd like to say not only are his actions purposeful in general, after reviewing some of the key details of this gospel, I want to point out how every moment was purposeful for Simon Peter and is also purposeful in how the Lord operates with us. We remember that this gospel is the third post-Easter appearance of Jesus to his apostles. The first was in Jerusalem in the upper room. Everybody except Thomas. And then the next appearance was in that same upper room in Jerusalem with Thomas. And we heard those accounts last week. At the end of that, he said, "Go up north to the Sea of Tiberias in the region of Galilee. Wait for me there." And that's where this happens today. Peter, in this context, decides he's going to go fishing. And we could speculate as to why he does so. We don't know how long they've been waiting up in Galilee for Jesus, but it could be because Peter was restless. He was bored. Maybe he was just impatient and wanted to get after something. Maybe there was a slight bit of despair that the Lord actually would not come to them there. And maybe there was an impulse by Peter to return to what was familiar and comfortable for him. He had not probably touched a fishing net in a long, long time. And so he gets back in his commercial fishing boat and gets to work. And of course, it's in this context, in their all-night fishing, that they catch nothing, that Jesus orchestrates a miraculous catch of fish. Once the apostles all get back to the shoreline, Jesus is waiting there with a charcoal fire. He gives bread to them and the fish. Then he pulls Peter aside for a conversation, which is quite intimate. He addresses him as Simon, son of John, and asks, of course, three times, "Do you love me?" And at the end of that dialogue, he predicts Peter's martyrdom, that one day he would go in his old age where he would not want to go. So every moment of that episode is purposeful, especially with regards to the role of memory and how memory affects our ability to move forward. Our Lord Jesus knows, for Simon Peter and for each one of us, that in our weakened condition and the woundedness of sin, we will tend to backslide, and he wants to urge us forward. So for the sake of urging Simon Peter forward, every detail points to this. So even the placement of how this takes place, it's up in Galilee. Why did he tell them to go up to Galilee? Of course, that's where most of the apostles are from, especially Simon Peter. And that's precisely where many of them first met Jesus, where they encountered his divine power. How did Simon Peter first encounter the Lord's divine power? It was in a miraculous catch of fish. You can imagine that during this current miracle of catch of fish, Simon Peter is probably immediately recalling that first miraculous catch of fish. And what a consolation and encouragement to him that he showed his divine power back then and he's showing it again. And of course, Jesus addresses him as Simon, son of John. Jesus had given him a new name, Peter, the rock. But here he addresses him by his old name, also putting him back in that original context to remind him of his initial call when he told them, "You will no longer be a fisherman, you'll be a fisher of men." And of course, when they get to the shoreline, Jesus takes bread, breaks it, and gives it to them. This is obviously a Eucharistic image. It's not unlike the other resurrection account where the two nameless disciples are heading on the road to Emmaus. And when they get to the end of the road, it's in the context of the breaking and giving of bread that their eyes are open. They recognize Jesus. It's as if Jesus is telling all those apostles, especially Simon Peter, if you're scared, if you're hopeless, if you're discouraged, remember, first of all, the feeding of the 5,000 that took place on that same shoreline several years ago. But remember the Last Supper. I gave you everything you would need. I gave you my flesh and blood. There is no reason for hopelessness or discouragement. And of course, it's next to the context of a charcoal fire. The only other moment in all of the Gospels that mention a charcoal fire is in the courtyard of Annas, where Simon Peter denies the Lord three times. That gives meaning for why the Lord asks Simon Peter three times, "Do you love me?" The first two appearances to the apostles, Jesus makes no mention of Peter's sin, but he pulls him aside, not to berate him, not to scold him or shame him. He brings this up in the context of the three questions to heal him and to allow him to move forward for the sake of mission, to feed his sheep. And of course, our Lord's prediction has to do with the three questions. And a lot of scripture scholars have done a lot of analysis on this, and it helps to actually know the Greek language. Our English language is somewhat impoverished, knowing that we only have one word for various types of love. The scholars say in the original Greek of the Gospels, Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me in a self-sacrificial way?" Agape love. And Peter says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you in a friendship way, in a philia type of love." So in some ways, he's not ready to be a self-sacrificial love. And so Jesus asks him then, "Do you love me in a self-sacrificial way?" Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love you as a good friend." The last time, Jesus actually almost lowers the bar and says, "Simon Peter, do you love me as a good friend?" Peter says, "You know all things. You know that I love you as a good friend." In some ways, Jesus says, "Whatever you have right now, I will accept and make fruitful, but I want you to get to that point where you are willing to be self-sacrificial." And he predicts he will be one day. And our Lord is pointing to the fact that in 64 or 65 AD, in the heart of Rome, on the Vatican Hill, where Caligula and Nero's circus was, Simon Peter would give his full self in a sacrificial way for the Lord by being crucified upside down. So he would get there. He would move forward. So this is how merciful and purposeful our Lord deals with Peter. And today we can recognize this is precisely how the Lord operates with us as well. On an individual and purposeful level, he speaks to us. And it has to do with memory as well. Just as he wants to evoke for the apostles that initial encounter with him, it is beneficial for us to undergo that exercise of recalling during the span of our life those moments we experienced personally the Lord's divine power. Maybe it was in a moment of initial conversion. Maybe it was a graced moment at Mass or adoration. Maybe it was a graced moment during a retreat. But to recall those moments from the past, renew those graces in the present, and to allow those graced moments to fade off in the dustbin of history, prevent those moments from having power in the past. They encourage us in the present to recall them. So I encourage you to undergo that exercise to remember those graced moments in your life. And just like the gospel, we remember if we are discouraged, if we experience hopelessness, if we feel overwhelmed with life and its demands, the Lord reminds us today, as he did to the apostles, "I have given you everything you need. I have given you my body and blood." This should be a consolation to us to move forward, to grow spiritually and be ready for divine mission. He has given us the means. And if we look back on our life, and in that process, we recognize our weaknesses, our failures, our sins, and yes, even those moments we've denied the Lord, this is our opportunity that Jesus reaches out to us and wishes to us to have that intimate conversation with him in the sacrament of confession, whereby he will not berate us, he will not shame us, he will heal us and unshackle for us those chains that hold us back from moving forward. But if you have those sins in the past, given them to the Lord in the sacrament of confession, do not let that past chain you to the past and prevent you. You've given them to the Lord. You're freed from them. It's time to move forward. The Lord knows us so well. He knows that if we stay put, we will fall backwards. He didn't want Peter to go back, just like Peter was tempted to go back to his old commercial fishing business. He doesn't want us to go backward either. He wishes us to, wherever we are in the spiritual life right now, and whatever our past, he wishes to urge us forward, reminding us of his consolations. We can't go back. We have encountered the resurrected Lord, and he's urging us onward.